the time of people that are here?
Yes.
So meeting's called to order 105. Roll call. Let's just roll around, starting with Bill today.
Good.
Bill Berkey. Art.
Bill Berkey.
Leanne Lavis-Park.
Lori Lebowski, Community Planning. Candace Paradis, Board of
Sharon Monroe,
Community Planning.
Oh, Sharon, welcome. Barbara Anderson, Pat.
Kelly Putney, Parks Commission, or Parks Board, excuse me.
Adam Babuka, Pat.
Jerry Reddy, the Court of Public Works.
Thanks for making it, everybody.
Yes. Spell your last name.
L-U-M-B-A-N-T-O-B-I-N-G.
You don't get asked that very often.
Never.
Sorry. Okay, thank you.
Minutes. We have minutes in our packet from our last meeting in July. Had a moment to review those. Accept a motion to accept.
I make the motion to accept the minutes of meeting of July 10th. Is that right?
Yes.
July 10th. Any seconds?
Second.
Oh, you second. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept the meetings as meeting minutes as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So we got no unfinished business this time. Except for, of course, our parks comp plan.
Yes.
But it's got its own little section this time. So, Lori, you're next on the agenda to give us a little summary of our work sessions and where we're at.
Sure. First of all, I want to thank you, Barbara and Kelly and Bill and Leanne and Jeremy, for help with the Planning Commission and with the board. So just a quick update. Early August, we had the work session with the Planning Commission, and it was the Barbara and Lori show. And basically, it was just answering the questions of the Planning Commission about the parks plan. I just remember kind of one question that seemed like a zinger from one of the members, but Barbara, you handled it really well. But the Planning Commission, we had the hearing August 20th, and the Planning Commission voted 7-0 to recommend to the board that they pass the parks plan. And then we had the work session with the board, or 2 weeks ago?
Last week. Yeah, in the work session, it went really well, I thought. We kind of ran into some different questions, you know, from the board. But all in all, it seems like they're really happy with the progress we've made on this comp plan. I think they're very happy with the final product. And so I would think that we're just going to have a brief discussion, like a six-slide PowerPoint presentation at the hearing that's coming up on the 22nd. And then, of course, that's time for public testimony, so folks can step up and speak to the comp plan and likes, dislikes, whatever. And then they will approve it. And then we will be done officially.
We'll be eligible for state grants.
Yep, we'll be eligible for state grants.
Yeah. Now, one question that came up, I think, at both of the meetings, and because of that one gal on the end in the Planning Commission, sticks in my mind.
Yeah.
She seemed to be majorly concerned about the difference between a full-time employee and the hiring of a contractor to do the grant writing.
Correct.
And I just anticipate that there'll likely be something brought up about that again. And I'm just wondering how we're going to address that issue, because on a personal level, I think that there is a distinct advantage to a full-time. And I'm a believer in contractors. I don't want to come across like I'm against them, because I think they have their place, and look at the wonderful job that Gene and such has done. But in a situation for a grant writer, knowing a couple of them, I know that what they bring to the table is a great deal more than writing skill. Mm-hmm. And that their knowledge of grants that are out there and when they will be coming to the table and their contacts and networking is a proactive thing. Whereas if you're going to hire a contractor, you usually have to do all the work of knowing where that grant is and then go get the contractor to write the grant paperwork for it. And so we miss out, I think, on a lot of opportunities on that.
Right.
So I just wanted to mention that I have some concern that when they come back that we are strongly justified, that you got something there to give them to tell them why we're looking at and recommended a full-time employee versus a contract employee.
Was she anti-full-time employee? Or
she was very, very strong. And I talking with a couple of other individuals, I guess... Does she do some grant writing herself?
I think she's got some history with grant writing, and you know.
Yeah, and has a real strong proclivity for contractors.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Like a very anti.
It's an understandable comment. I thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
The balance we take. And let's just say if Jean Akers became a contractor doing grant writing, which she has mm-hmm. done,
or Bill Becker,
and we couldn't convince the council mm-hmm. to put a full-time person in. We'd be better off hiring somebody like her as a contractor to keep our grants coming than we would to not do it. So there are exceptions.
Yeah.
But in the bigger scheme of things, when Bill Dygert was working for the county parks for years, he built such a great relationship with the state funding agencies, he was able to be the largest grant recipient in the history of the state because he had that rapport. And then he left the county and he became a contractor. And he continued that connection. But to just drop in somebody that has successful grant writing for nonprofits or something into it, it might be a different ballgame. So I think the conversation is good to have. I just think that in our case, we ought to be pursuing people that are with the system while we're growing at this point. There she is. Yeah.
It has an institutional knowledge behind it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think we said the same thing in different ways.
Yeah, we did.
Which is that relationship,
right.
Wherever it is the key issue.
And I think our answer back to that was that would be our backup position. If we do not get the position, we will contract it out, essentially.
Well, and my concern, in my opinion, from the board work session was that they were talking about using existing public works staff as grant writers.
They brought that up, yes.
And my concern is that those grant writers are pretty busy, and I don't believe they've had experience with RCO, maybe a little bit on trails.
One of them did. Actually, one of them has actually wrote the grant for the Selection Trail.
Okay.
And so she has, Susan Wilson is, Susan Wilson and Michael Derelip are essentially grant writers for the county, but they deal heavily in transportation grants.
Right.
And but from time to time, if they have time, they'll actually come out and help us. And Selachie Trail, which basically is an alternative transportation mode route, is one that they applied for and got. And so she does have some experience, and I just met with them right before this meeting, and they do have some time between now and next, say, February, to help us, because if we do get this position, we won't be able to hire it until December or January, actually. Mm-hmm. And then once you drop them in, they get it trained. So they'll be ready for the next cycle, but right now, unless we hire somebody internally, I don't think they're going to be really, really valuable.
Yes.
That's
okay.
So they have offered, they're kind of in between the grant cycles right now and the transportation end, so they have offered to give us a hand to get us trained once this comp plan is complete. So. And I will talk about
but the real truth is you're going to be doing a lot of the work up in Olympia. It
yes.
will be you, and you're already stretched pretty thin.
Yes,
so,
yes.
It's not the solution.
It does.
It's just it's a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess as far as the park's plan, I mean, basically I'm getting, with everybody's help, Leanne and Bill and everyone, to get the packet ready for the board. And prepare one last PowerPoint for the hearing, and that's on the 22nd, and the resolution.
Yes.
Those are the big pieces right now that I'm working on as far as the parks plan.
There was one question that Councilor Madore did bring up at our last work session that kind of hit home and that we needed to follow up with him on, which we did, but it's kind of open-ended right now. The question was, can we utilize park impact fee funds to build trails? Well, until now, the answer is no, because unless the trail is within a park or in a facility like a fire station or something like that, mm-hmm. it's not allowed. So we researched it, and the councilors do have the authority to write up an ordinance that would allow PIF funds to be used on trails. But there's nothing in the RCWs that preclude them from doing that. And I actually queried MRSC, Municipal Research, mm-hmm. to ask their statewide attorneys what their experience was with other jurisdictions asking that same question or actually utilizing PIF funds for trails. And they haven't heard of anybody else doing that, but they didn't say it can't be done. So, but we would have to pass an ordinance for that to happen. So it really depends on if Councilor Madore wants to push that. He may or may not. I don't know. But if he does...
Do you have enough PIF funds to do what we've committed to in parks and add trails to that outside of the park's grounds?
Yes,
I don't think so.
Yes and no. Some of our PIF districts don't have a lot going on, so we could actually dedicate some funds. But with other districts, fully loaded. There's no way we're going to build trails with using PIF dollars. So.
Maybe it could be a parking lot issue or follow-up implementation issue. I mean, if Councilor Madore is really interested in doing that or if they go for it.
It's kind of in his book. Actually, it's up to Chris Horn, our PA, to actually answer the question right now. So it's on his desk to advise Councilor Madore whether he can or can't do it. Mm-hmm. And then that's a matter of Madore pushing it forward. So that's where we stand on that question. So at least we got back to them on that, and did our best to try to give him enough background that he can make an informed decision. So we'll see where it goes.
So what I'm hearing you say is that the councilors, without public input, could make that decision to endorse a change to the way PIF is administered.
Typically, when they have when they're passing an ordinance, there's a public input section there where they will allow the public to speak. So there would be some public input invested at the time. But I would definitely want to make sure that it comes in front of this board here prior to any decisions being made. And that's up to them, allowing us to have the time to make that make the decisions. I don't know. Essentially, yes, by ordinance, they can make that happen. And there should be some public input, but it's largely up to them how far they want to reach out.
Well, maybe another issue to consider is just the timing. Is that, would there be enough time for them to pass an ordinance before the year is over, before it's another, I'm just thinking out loud here. Okay, we're coming into October? So would there be enough time to draft an ordinance and have public input? And even if they wanted to pass an ordinance before the end of the year, you have to have all three of them vote for it.
That's correct. I would like to hope that this goes into next year sometime. It's not going to affect our comp plan, per se.
No.
But I don't know if there's a big hurry on this. I think he's just talking about in the future.
I think we should keep our energy focused on the comp plan and not worry about that at this point.
Right. Sure. We'll address it as it comes up. So right now, it's just a question.
Yeah.
Super. When we get to your requests and stuff, I'll expound on that a little bit. But I think we're in the area of comp plan, so I'd like to stay with that.
That's really all I have as far as the comp plan. It's moving along, and I just encourage everyone here to attend the hearing on Tuesday, September 22nd, 10 a.m. And I think
will that last an hour, or is it?
It's
scheduled
mean,
for 2 hours or an hour.
It's probably going to be an hour. We do have one item on after us, but that's I believe for community services, and that's like a 20-minute.
So we're first on the agenda.
We are first.
At 10.
But I...
Well, actually, there's consent that
right.
leaves.
Well, yeah.
And so it might be a little closer to 10:30 or...
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know what I meant.
Right.
So I would just encourage, Marcia's been real good. I think you've shown up at all but except for the last one, Marcia. Thank you so much. And we've seen this man's face at several of them. But, you know, a lot of times you might think, oh, you know, I'm going to take time off work, you know, and get down there and stuff. And I just want you to know that that's really important stuff to do, though, because even if you're not speaking, face value of the counselors looking out and seeing an engaged board that feels that this plan is so important that people will take time out of their busy days to bring their bodies down there and say, yeah, this is important and I'm here to support it. So I just really encourage you to make that one last hard drive to show up on the 22nd. Because that's going to be the... And then we should party.
And if it all goes smoothly that day, we should really feel good about it.
Absolutely.
I agree.
So, anything else to add on that, Kelly or Bill?
Do you feel that you've covered all of the questions that were asked at the last session by the different counselors?
I think we did. We did a pretty good job. I followed up on one of them right, just right after the meeting, and that, we just got them talking about that, and that was whether we can use PIP funds to build trails.
Absolutely. Yes.
And we right now, it's in Chris Lawrence's hands, our prosecuting attorney.
Have you spoken about Milky's concern whether or not the plan is even required?
Oh, we don't.
What was the question again?
I didn't hear it.
So, Milky has gone on a couple of times thinking that we don't really need to do this. And, you know, we're going forward anyway, so I don't think it's a huge issue. But if he gets a odd hair going and thinks that, well, I shouldn't vote for it because it's not actually required or something odd like that. Has anybody...
Well, you've been told that several times, including right there.
And I followed up with the citation of the statute to him, and I included the in the staff report. I refer to the RCW that states it's required in a comp plan. It's a required element.
Right. But has there been any comment back from him at all? One of those issues that, having dealt with difficult counsel in the past, it's nice if you can get some call and response. The call being, here's the statute, yes, we must do it, and response saying, oh, okay, fine.
I get it now.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like we've seen that response.
That was actually in the PowerPoint, so yes. You know, the requirement. And then
Mark, have you heard anything from him on that?
No, I haven't. The only thing I heard about was I can't remember exactly what it is, where the additional hiring of staff, he had a concern about that. Has that been addressed?
We just talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about
sorry,
that.
Sorry, I didn't get here quite quick enough.
Right.
Okay.
You know, in every work session, I always have a slide that says, this is required per GMA, and I have the RCW.
Yeah.
And I actually today at putting together the packet and the table of contents, I was thinking, well, should I just copy off that statute and put it as an exhibit and just highlight it?
Yeah, and I don't know Milky. From what I've dealt with other people, my recommendation would just be an email saying, you know, we've hit this a few times, are you comfortable with it? And just get him to respond, yes, I am, and that would go away. So that's just how I've dealt with
it. Don't want to wait till the meeting where you're trying to get approval and you're still, he's not communicating back with
him. One thing I might do, I might actually address all three counselors and ask them if they have any final questions prior to the hearing, you know, and just go back and forth a couple
times. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yes.
Thank you for trimming my tree.
Sure. Sorry, it took so long. I thought it was done. It wasn't.
Do you think it would help if maybe I would email you the citation from RCW if you want to attach that?
I think they've seen it several times. I think they know.
Okay.
If there's an issue about it, it's just being told.
I thought he got his answer while we're at the work session. But
right. It's always that question in my mind. You've given the answer. Has he actually received it?
Right.
I think we got a great plan. We've got time to go through it. We'll have the public hearing. Hopefully, we'll get the 3-0 vote on it, and we'll move forward and we'll be eligible. Well, we're not eligible until the state's seen the plan and accepted and approved it. There's 3 or 4 months of that going on.
Right.
But it's out of our hands, passed on to them. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to believe that this won't go to them and be accepted based on Steve and Gene's knowledge of the state requirements. So, I know that I've been through that process with these several times. They might have a question or two from the state level, but
sure.
we'll handle those as they come down.
Okay, so yeah, Bill, I guess you'll send an email and...
Yeah, I'll do that probably in a week and a half. Well, that's actually coming right up here. So probably early next week, I'll probably start emailing him and asking the question.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. That's all I have.
Okay.
Good job.
So we couldn't think of any new business. Anyone have something that they'd like to throw in for new business?
Well, I don't want to open any doors to new business until we get this comp plan done. So
moving right along.
Stay focused and get this done. And Bill's got obviously some things.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay.
Just slap me again, Kelly.
Sorry, that's okay.
Keep me on task.
I would like to move that we get some air conditioning in the
building. It's warm in there.
You know what? It's actually in. See this brand new pipe?
Yeah.
That's air conditioning, and the unit is sitting outside. We just need to get power to it.
Uh-huh. Oh, so it's,
and
it is.
So the permits.
So see, there was some new business.
Just need a power cord.
Sorry about that.
And well, this is a little story itself, and I want to let's move through here, and I'll tell you later on how's that sound.
So tour of the RCO grants.
Yes. So. Was it before that? Laura Moxon with RCO came out, and we spent 2 afternoons touring our parks. And she wanted to go see, you know, some of the regional parks, some of the community parks, and some of the neighborhood parks that they had some that we've asked for grants on and were awarded. And so I took her to several locations, and she was really impressed, you know, with all the parks that we had shown her. In fact, I threw this into the car, and she kind of paced through the whole thing while we were in the car, and she really liked, you know, the document and the way it was put together and the formatting and the content. So so that's actually a pretty good first sign as to, you know, our product here, which is great. We went out to Pacific Park and showed her the rain gardens, and she was very impressed with that and all the volunteers that are helping with those. The one thing that, in our conversation, of course, we talked a little bit about grant conversions, and because on twofold, there's one issue that we have. Hi, Temple. I brought it to this board at an earlier meeting. I don't think it was in the July meeting, where we had a contractor that wanted to take one of our 5-acre pieces of, or about 3-acre pieces of property, and split up a small chunk of it and build some homes on it and cut a road through in exchange for completely building the park out. Well, that would require a grant conversion because that park is encumbered. And she basically said, hey, we make grant conversions very difficult for a reason. She said, if you displace 1 square foot, you're in grant conversion. So I kind of pulled that off. As we're not going to go forward with that. It's just too expensive. And even though, you know, the intent was really, really good to build a completely full-blown neighborhood park from an undeveloped piece of property, it's going to take 2 to 5 years to do the grant conversion and a lot of staff time. It's not worth it. So we had that conversation. She also did tell me something that was fairly disturbing and, well, concerning. And that is, as of January 1st, 2015, any properties that we acquire and use grant funds to acquire it, we have to develop within 5 years, or else there's penalties. And she did not know specifically what the penalties were. I would think worst case scenario is that they want the grant funding back. But she was going to get back to me as soon as she did find out. She said, this is new, I'm not sure how to address it yet. But that is concerning to me because we don't always get to building these properties, you know, more than 5 years after we purchase them. So that's going to have to be a pretty serious consideration going forward when we're looking at acquisition.
I'm going to bring that up with the legislature, through Jim Mueller, because I think that's putting a challenge on us that isn't right. And I don't think that was the intent in many cases of this, but you know, they're pulling what they have to do, and we have to counter that. It's a pretty tight timeline. We've always had to spend the money on a grant in a certain period of time when it's the capital side, but we've never had to when it's acquiring a property. So this is quite a serious. But they're looking for ways, because they have so many grants out there. They're looking how to keep their grants in a manageable level of funding. So So if we're not ready to build or ready to build on a property, maybe the newer properties shouldn't be bought.
Yes. Well, so I
see their point, but I don't think it's realistic.
Yeah, I would have major concern on that, just in the aspect that when the land is gone, it's gone. You can't go back 10 years from now and get the land, you know.
But their point would be that monies they're spending to buy properties right now ought to be put in the areas where there's such a need for a park that it ought to be, they ought to be buying properties, neighborhood parks or something, right where they've got to have a park built as soon as possible. And just funding all those, they can't reach the funds, the amount of money they need. So that's their point on it. And I can see their point. It's,
yeah.
It puts another burden on us. And in our right, we have 10 parks to build that, you know, we want to build right away, and we should be pressured to build those right away.
Yes. Yes.
So those lands should be bought and developed sooner than later in the areas where we're really serious about urban parks.
Well,
I guess I can see both sides of the story.
And then you turn around and you look like in my park district, where he's been looking for land.
Yeah.
And we actually now have some dollars we could actually buy it. But because we didn't get it back when the land was available, we now, big deal, doesn't matter how much money you've got, there's no land.
Yeah. Well, there is land if you can afford it. I mean,
oh yeah, well, it's at such a premium.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's the point.
That, yeah.
That's right.
And that's
but you get
why,
my point.
Yeah,
that's
I get your point. And,
yeah.
And so if you look at both sides of the point.
Absolutely.
Well, and where Kelly went originally is that's a great conversation to have with the legislature.
Absolutely.
You know, there's got to be some
mid-ground. Yeah.
We're hoping, well, I'd like to see the day when we're caught up, not always behind the eight ball on park development.
Right. You've only been doing this 30, 40, 40 years. It's got to come soon. Yeah.
So
the tour with Laura went really well, and she was very impressed with all the sites that we took her to. And the one thing she did note is that a lot of our RCO signs that are supposed to be on our entrance signs were not there on the smaller parks. And I said, well, you send me them, we'll put them up. So she's going to send me about 200 of them so we can start posting them on those parks that are grant encumbered.
Well, if you go along with her, that's good, because she's very tough. She's very serious about what she does. She's tough, and she's the toughest. She has the District of Southwest Washington.
Yes.
And she's the toughest of the five districts around the state. And, man, she could ring you through the ringer before you even get a chance to get a grant out the door. So if you've got her blessing on a grant, going into the grant, you're in really good shape at the state level.
You bet.
I'm glad
we're in her good graces right now. Plus, we gave the RCO group, there's a, is it Myra that came in, and who's the other one, Jeremy, that came in on a tour? We gave them two tours last year, and they were pretty impressed with that. They came in on some big trailway buses, and we came down to Salmon Creek.
Kayleen. She's the head of the whole.
And then we met with Pete Mayer and City Canvas out at Lackness Lake Park, and we showed them Camp Curry. And so we had two separate tours. So I've had some pretty good interfacing with Laura. And so, and in fact, she asked me to come up and see if I want to sit on the review board. Well,
good luck. Takes a lot of time. I've been there.
Yes, that was my concern.
So, like you have nothing else to
do. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. On the next one here, developer donations update, 72nd Avenue and Mount Vista property. I just talked about that. That was the one piece that I presented to Parks Advisory Board back in July. And that was the piece where the developer wanted to shave off about an acre on the downslope side of Mount Vista property. Do you have that up, Jeremy? Do you have that photo?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to refresh your memory of what we talked about. It's a non-issue right now because I don't want to go through a grant conversion process, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. That's actually a different one there, but that's okay. Mount Vista property.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Look
at those little boxes.
And this was, I believe the developer was Lennar, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm going to spend just a real brief time on this because we're not going forward with it. But you know, the one thing I want to note is that people are, these developers and citizens are coming to us with offers like this, and we have to listen to them because it's, you know, they're willing to throw their own money at different things. So this is the Mount Vista property. This is 29th Avenue is right here. WSU is down below, right here. So this is going north, that's 172nd Street. And up at the very top of the hill, essentially, is this part of the property that we've acquired. It's granite covered. And what they proposed is to push this road through, have them take this piece of property, put homes on it, and that all the proceeds from those homes he would use to develop this into a fully blown neighborhood park with trails and playground and the whole bit.
How big a piece is it?
This is the full thing was 4 acres, so he wanted to take 1.01, so it'd be 2.98 acres developed. And I believe he lives right here, so that's his motivation. He's got kids, he wants a park. It's a beautiful property just the way it is right now, but he wanted to turn it into a fully functional neighborhood park. The one thing right now, this is dead end, so they don't, this would improve circulation through here as well as here. But
racetrack for people to speed around the block.
Yeah, and then this also would provide parking for folks to park here tomorrow. But so I don't want to go through that whole grant encumbrance process, and I think we're just going to pull that one off the list and just wait until we have funds to develop it. Okay.
Well, that really, that could be a pain because the guy is totally willing to do it.
Well, we can buy it back from the state and go through that whole process. But the point being here is when we get money from the state, we are committed to some things that are beyond us, and so we got to be careful when we do take state grants. Here, we probably at the time we purchased that, if those were already developed out there like that, we should have put that into the mix at the time we got the state grant.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how much we bought it for?
I don't. I can look that up.
It'd be worth mentioning it to the developer, saying, you know, here's why we can't do it. If you can come up with the $200,000 or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, it's more than that. Precedent. The state doesn't want us selling lands that they've purchased. They take it very serious when we buy land. So
we figure it's going to take about to do one grant conversion about 1,000 hours of staff time plus consultant time. They make it very difficult. The one grant conversion that we went through down at the Sandwich Creek for Klein Line to make way for a pump station, a sewage pump station. We had to go out and find another property of equal or greater value, which is now Foley Park. And that grant conversion took 5 years to complete. And that was with everybody on board. So,
well, there's a big controversy at the city right now with the Waterworks Park. We accepted grant money to develop that park with, in our minds, the Parks Department's minds, that would be a park built for forever.
Right.
And now Public Works wants to take that park and turn it into a water station with high fences around it.
Yes.
And basically the state says, you buy it. And they're right.
Mm-hmm.
We went into that, the idea that would be a permanent park for forever, and it's
not.
Right.
And that's why the city won the Shaker property. Yeah. That was their other piece of property to replace it with. So. Okay. Decision packages. We move on to that one real quick.
I see you have a flyer here on that. Is that right?
What's that?
Is this flyer on the decision?
Yes, that's my quick summary list. That's how I always start these off, and then I actually go and write up decision packages. And please keep in mind, these are decision packages, which makes them wish lists. There's no obligation by the councilors to approve any of these. We hope that they will. And we've actually been talking to them at some of our work sessions about some of these items.
Did you want to talk about this one?
Sure. This is another developer. This is Otto. Northeast 72nd Avenue and 135th Street, just north of the fire station where we have Cougar Creek Woods Community Park behind it. That's just south. That's right here on 72nd Avenue. Proposal for a 300 lot subdivision going in. on the west side of 72nd Avenue, and they approached us and asked us if we would like to, if they built this, take on this little park right here, this walkway system that leads out, and this little piece right here. And this is, this park is about the size of, you can see, two house lots, really small, and a lot of high-level maintenance. And we weren't really too in tune to that. It does not really fit well into our neighborhood park model at all. But we were interested in looking at this piece. This is 2 acres right here. And we thought if we could reconfigure this piece here and this area here, provide some parking, we'll take a look at it pretty more seriously. And they would actually build it out for us, turn it into a neighborhood park, and then we would take it over, donate it to us, and we would maintain it thereafter.
That fits more within our standards of a neighborhood.
It's closer to our standard. It's typically 3 to 5 as a neighborhood. This is 2. It's kind of on the lower end, but, you know.
But it's about the lowest end. Yeah.
I don't think we want to be too choosy, but I don't want to take on a two house lot size park. This just doesn't make a lot of sense. This is all push oil. Really high level maintenance. And so with that, why don't you give this to the association, let them maintain that, we'll take this over. And so they have not gotten back to us yet, but we expect them to real soon because they got to submit their permit plans to the county.
Does that, I mean, the fact it's only 2 acres, or is that something we want to get into even? I mean, my question.
Even Gene mentioned that.
It's pretty tough.
We can't be
maintaining a 2 acre park.
Right.
We try to keep those at minimum of 5. And if it was 2.5, even that'd be half our minimum.
Exactly.
2 acre. If the neighborhood association is willing to take the whole thing on, wouldn't we be better off just staying out of it?
Well, the one thing that we look at is one thing we ask them about is okay. I think they're still going to go forward with this walkway.
Yeah.
Hopefully. We're going to put a creek right here, and if we want to provide an east-west trail that takes us over to the western part of the county. That's a link for us to get there. So if we have park property here, that's going to provide us the ammunition to keep going west to that trail. And so I was looking at it from that perspective. So this, I told them, I said, once we put a park in here, this all becomes public.
It should, anyway,
yeah. They agreed to that. They thought that was fine. And so to me, that would be a connection for all these homes here, and there's several more subdivisions going in around us that would link to from this neighborhood park over to our community park, and then from there down to 119th and over to Patton. So,
how big are those lots? They look horribly small.
They're small. I mean, they have no yard. 4,000 square feet.
Oh my God.
Can't quite see, but they have right over 4,000 square feet. I mean, that's a house with not much around it. So the kids have to have a place to play.
Yeah.
I would rather see that those kids have a 2 acre park rather than this little thing. What I suggested, what we suggested, Jeremy and I met with them, is maybe turn this into a community garden. Maybe put another one somewhere else and make this the park for the subdivision.
Well, you know, you see apartment complexes with a lot less than 400 houses with a little kids' playground area in the apartment complex. So the neighborhood association or the, what do you call the association?
HOA.
HOA.
Yeah.
They're capable of funding and doing the right thing for them. So I wouldn't discourage that.
Right.
I'd push for that for the kids because those kids aren't going to have anywhere.
No, I know.
Well, you know, and I just, you know, I pull this in my mind both ways because I look at my HOA. And essentially, because I've mentioned this before, we have a little tiny park like that in our neighborhood. And we have done walking trails as well. We also have the wetland habitat, which might equate to that 2 acre thing there that goes along the back and down the side. We got both wetland and habitat. I pay dues of $35 a month, and essentially $25 a month of that goes towards maintenance of the playground, walking trails, wetland habitat. And I will tell you that there are a lot of people that live when you get into places where the population density is like this. Seriously, those kids need a place to play. You cannot even put a swing set in a backyard on lots like that. You know, that's the thing that just tears me apart. These are the kids that we get out and we fight for, that these are the kids that really, really need that park. You know, and where do you get all your really nice build at? You go over here to the Pacific Park where they got bigger lots to start out with, and they've got all these nice amenities at it. These are the places we need to focus where but the children need, have real needs.
We need to see them happen. Community development needs to see them happen. Do it. Does the parks need to be? I mean, if you want to
see
a parks budget go out of control,
sure,
you're doing these little spots. Right?
No, no. I'm not advocating.
Yeah, I didn't think you were.
I'm not advocating that we support that little park because our HOA does it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I don't know this area directly or whether those people are going to be able to afford $30 a month just to take care of
it. They can't afford not to.
I would say that.
I would say they can't afford not to.
So
they shouldn't.
There's a lot of balancing that goes into decision making.
Can you collect no dues? Can't collect.
Can you do that? Just
and, everybody's just stuck doing nothing. We do that.
That's
to keep the trail public, but not do.
And that could happen here.
Yes, that was what we proposed to them
initially.
So we asked them to keep this trail public, but have their HOA pay for the maintenance of this trail system right here, and we would take this over. And then, of course, this is a big open properties here, and I'm sure that's going to be, infill at some point in time. And I found out recently I've got the ability to actually, because I approve all the plans that come through for construction that go to the county. There's five signatories on one of them. So I have the ability to actually say, I want this lot, this lot, and this lot, and this lot, and they have to sell it to me. So, which is great. So, at some point in time, when we see this subdivision coming through, the proposal, I say, hey, I want these lots right here. We can turn this into maybe a marker's.
Yeah, make it into a realistic
size. Well, then I wouldn't allow accepting that property unless you have that deal in advance so that we can get to a 2.5 to 5 acre property.
Right. And I'm not sure what these folks are at right now that there's a single house on 30 acres or something, but we'll talk to them in advance.
You see the future.
Yeah.
I just have a real problem with us.
Little bitty. Getting the maintenance guy there is the biggest part of
for
the
problem. For a 2 acre, even a 2 acre site, it sounds within this, but if you blow that up and saw what the whole bigger scheme is, and then you've got to get in there to do that one little piece, and with all those kids that are going to live in that neighborhood, that park is going to be so overly used, it's not going to be impossible to maintain it, and you'll wonder, why is it always such a mess?
Imagine what's just this right here. I mean, on our service levels, this helps us to meet that service level because on the future chart where we show the original parks that we've got and where the other parks need to be to get us within a half mile radius, this is actually in the centroid of one of those areas.
So when something like that comes.
Well, I would say that the developer ought to just give us those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lots in there that are in the north part of that, make that 2.5 acres.
We can do that. I mean, they're getting ready to see.
I don't like the idea of accepting a property that is so much smaller than our standard.
Up
front.
Yeah, 3 acres is typically our smallest one, like Tower Crest, for instance, that's actually. Like
and that's ridiculously small, but it is.
Yeah.
I think John's been trying to say something.
I'm sorry, John.
That's all right.
You've got to step in.
You're just a little bit passionate. I guess it's okay. Passion's
been there, though.
Does the county have the ability, when a plan like that comes through, to simply say, no, your parks and rec allocation of land is simply not enough and we're not going to approve it?
Well, one thing, it depends on the development code, the code requirements.
Right.
I don't know what it says as far as this kind of subdivision, what the requirements
are. The one thing they're asking for in exchange, I think they... As it is written out right now, because that was just going to be an undeveloped space. Right now, it's full of trees, geraniums, and I would think that the county would rubber stamp that going through because they do have a somewhat of a public component there.
Well, believe me, that's where the kids will be playing.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
And that this is, if there's one thing actually in my law. Spiel about myself back when I showed you guys a picture of a park just like that, and if there's one thing that really pisses me off, it's something like this, because it's just plain irresponsible. So if you figure half a kid per household, you've got 150, 160 kids in that development.
Right.
That's just.
But they do that on.
I agree. Well, and that's where I'm saying we need to find it. Once we're done with the comp plan, that's one of the things I would love to push for is a little bit more strength with the county to say, look, folks, you're creating living environments that are not acceptable.
Exactly.
310 homes in ours, and our park is like that little. And the sad thing about it is if you cross 149th Street, all of those kids, our park, greedy people that are in my HOA, post it, you know, members only, blah, blah. But all these other kids from across 149th come over. It's a little tiny park, not big enough to accommodate what's there, yet it still draws from an even larger area, you know? Those, and they're very expensive to maintain, I will tell you.
Bill, are they asking for a waiver on the...
In exchange, they want PIF credits.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, see, there's our parks.
And they want population density, too, because right down the street from me, they're putting in half-size roads. They're putting in half-size roads, getting population density for smaller lots, because they're putting a park in. And the back part of that is right by Whipple Creek, so you can't build on it anyway. That's what they say. They're going to put this little teeny tiny park like that in. And they got all these gimmies.
So what I see a consensus developing here is we want to send that developer just a brief note that says, bite me. Sorry.
Yeah. We definitely did on the
He talks like you.
On this original proposal. We definitely told him that's not going to work for us.
I do.
One thing we could look at, though, this is 2 acres. If we wanted to buy these lots right here, hopefully at a reduced rate, that would probably get us up to the 3 acres. Size, that would meet our minimum.
That would be nice.
Yeah. And this is just a trail right here that connects into this road. This road really points around.
Well, I'd be fighting for 5 acres as opposed to 3. A minimum is 5, but I mean, if the deal is, if the councilors choose to go less than our minimum size for a neighborhood park, that's their call. We're only advisory, but I wouldn't want to be even advising for less than our minimum.
Yeah, even Jean, when she was giving us her presentation on our service levels, she said, you know, we're getting into a time where we probably can't be too picky and choosy about property sizes and minimum standards. She said, you know, we might have to take properties that are 2 acres or, you know, less than 3 or 5. So that's up to us to make a decision on at some point in time. So.
But this isn't built yet, and it isn't subdivided yet. This is proposal, so this is the time to argue about.
Well, what impressed me is they came to us before they submitted this plan, which I thought was kind of nice. You know, they said, hey, what do you think about this? And we said, nah, it doesn't work for us, but this one has more merit. So they said, take your structure out of here, make that a community garden or something, because you need more recreational facilities within this 300-house subdivision. You know, and put some of those features over here, do something else. I think we asked them if they could do something like this up in here somewhere.
Well, yeah, it's a breakup between all the houses. Yeah.
So they have not gotten back to us yet. It was AKS Engineering on behalf of AVO.
Oh, this is AVO.
Yeah. So.
It's what?
Okay. It's
AVO. So there's that.
Oh, AVO Builders. Okay.
So we'll, you know, as this comes up, I'll talk to you more about it. If it becomes more, you know, something that seems to have some merit, we'll talk about it. We'll vote on it. We'll make it business.
Well, just keep in mind that we're doing this comp plan that has standards in it, and I'd like to live to our standards on the first day out of
yes.
Yeah. But yeah. You know, sometimes you kind of feel like you're being held hostage. It's this little tiny thing or everybody up there goes without, period. And you don't want to say that this is anywhere near desirable, but it's better than nothing.
Oh, even the you know, talking to this guy down here.
You think it's not better than nothing?
Mm-hmm. I think giving in to say better than nothing.
I don't know if you want to
say.
Oh. Hey, look, 3 months.
Because that's what you'll get.
Take another 2 acres and 4 acres or something.
Better than nothing.
That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
When we submitted the plan, we were talking about that too. And so we don't have to make
money. Absolutely, yeah.
We don't have to make money.
Quality-wise and everything else.
Yeah.
I think we have until about a year after the plan is approved for my ability to go in there and say, I want those lots, you have to sell them to us. So it's not like we're under this time crunch.
Well, just because it is just early stages, and I'm really pleased, we ought to just stroke them to death for coming in early. Mm-hmm. I mean, for that, because that's what we beg them to do. But let's get the right thing on the books.
Agreed. And there again, I talked about, you know, I see a lot of subdivisions that are coming through, and you don't see anything like this. There's no recreational facilities whatsoever. And it's like, wow, you know, we really need to change our way of doing business to where we require some kind of, you know, facility, no, and not necessarily clinging to PIP credits to make that happen.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of the people who live there,
because
they're forced to go out somewhere else to recreate because they don't have any yards, first of all. So, anyways, I'll get off my soapbox.
And if you think those PIP credits are passed down to the buyers of the homes,
forget it.
They are.
So okay. That's your number B.
Yeah, we talked about B, and we actually have a second part of that. This is that last project was not on here. Okay, I'm going to talk about our decision packages. You want to bring those up, Jeremy, number one? I didn't print those out. I just don't see what they look like. That's the short list. Do you have the complete decision package?
I do.
Okay. So that's the upgrade to 9 months GMS. And they want me to prioritize all of these prior to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And so the first one is my maintenance staff came to me. This particular site here, Luke Jensen, we are getting lighting this fall coming in to light up fields 4 and 5. And our staff, that's actually going to program these fields up into December and then through the fall, the spring season next year. And so we're going to have night games out here until 10 o'clock on this field as well as this. And for soccer purposes. And so basically our slow time at Luke Jensen has kind of gone away. We're down to Christmas week essentially now. And so we have temporary staff that assist our two full-timers and 2 9-monthers. And so this is 7 days a week, 2 shifts per day, day shift and swing shift. And we just need more coverage from our full-timers because the temporary employees are done as of October 15th. Well, that's when these lights will be up, and that's when soccer begins, the night soccer. So at least has to be here to cover, to close this place down and maintain it. So I'm asking for those 2 9-month employees to be upgraded to 12 months so we get that coverage because of the programming. So it's not a lot of money, and so I think this one should hopefully go through pretty decently.
What's the bottom of that thing?
Go ahead, Miguel. Justification. It says, Luke Jensen Sports League staff 7 days per week with 2 shifts per day in order to serve the needs of the sports league and citizens who utilize this facility. Staff has struggled to meet the demands of increasing workload to the sports programming throughout the year. With additional lighting being installed on fields 4 and 5 this fall season, sports programming will further increase and it will be necessary to maintain full staffing throughout the year. An expected increased revenue as a result of the lighting upgrade, that's another piece of this. This request represents a cost-conscious and necessary approach to means of correcting the labor resource need. Additional revenue of $3,000 is expected due to increased sports programming for 2015 and 16, and $20,000 annually beginning in 2017. So,
why the delay?
Why?
Our sports league is going to pay for the lighting.
Right.
Oh, so for the next 2 years, we're getting reduced rates, and after that, they pay the full rates.
Yeah.
On the 2 YEF grants that we've submitted to RCO, one of them is to help pay back that lighting. So that's one of the 2 YEF grants. Okay, that's number one.
So that's already been put into the grant, so they know?
Yeah, the grants have been submitted by Eric about 2 months ago. And in fact, the resolutions for those 2 grants are going in front of the board on the 22nd, same day as our hearing. So I'll be there early for that. Priority 2. This is one thing I need to talk about. So what I've been proposing to the counselors is that we hire a grant writer and a planner. And it sounds like we're resonating with the counselors on the grant writer. It never did really come back to me in the planner. And talking to the budget office, it seems like they kind of wanted to move forward a little more slowly. And so what I did is I combined the 2 positions into one. So we call it a planner position. So it's a planner that works on grants. And so
So this is the cost of the position plus some equipment, so computers, phones, all that kind of stuff in the background. I'll read you the justification. So the BOCC approved the Comprehensive Parks Recreation Open Space Plan. So this gets submitted later on. Our plan should be submitted by then and approved. Identified several park acquisitions, parks, trails, and special facility development projects, as well as master planning components that will require a lead role in initiating parks projects, seeking grants, and providing oversight throughout project completion. This position will focus solely on project scoping, permitting, and oversight of all capital parks projects, and will work with the parks manager to identify funding sources. A strong focus on local, state, and federal grants will be required for this position. This is a specialized work that current park staff do not have the time or expertise to perform, and due to a previously expired PROS plan, the county parks has not been eligible to apply for grants since early 2014. A parks planner is truly needed to seek out the millions of dollars available to plan park projects that will best serve our community. And so far it sounds like we've got the budget office is on board with this, the consolidation of this, and I'm hoping that our counselors will be. From our last work sessions, they kept nodding their head yes, so I think that we're good for a position, I hope.
Can you work the name grants into the position title? You know, parks, parks slash grants planner or something like that.
It would have if you'd approached it from that point.
I know.
The planning point, they're not going to buy. They don't want it in-house people to do those jobs.
I can do that.
So I think if you make this more... more direct to the side of,
because
of planning, you may have a chance with the other one.
Okay.
When they see that title.
Yeah, when they use the word grant writer, his head started bobbing away.
Okay.
So there is that association that they'll earn their keep.
I was trying to match it with the positions that we have internally to the county right now, and the planet two.
They'll probably make you do that when it comes time to do it.
But for the decision package purpose, grant writers. Okay, good point.
One of the main reasons that they split from the city was because we had planners over there, we had planners over here, and they were both doing the same jobs. So that's why the planning thing got a little crazy. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, they had the same job title, is all. Yeah. They did.
We'll do that. Okay, Jeremy, number three, requesting additional funding for the parks admin budget. Essentially, last year when the parks admin was initiated, they gave us about $514,000 for this new admin group to basically build the program, which we didn't spend all of it. So. Going into this year, they basically stripped the whole budget out with the exception of our salaries. So we have no money to operate on to do anything administratively except show up every day. So I'm asking for some funding because there's a lot of things that this money right here, we're actually spending funding, and it's going into the parks maintenance budget, the general fund budget, and the MPD budget are paying for our administrative costs right now. Which I don't think that's very fair at all, because those two budgets are already strapped, and we're strapping it that much further by having all these other needs that we have administratively. So I'm going after that. We've been talking to the councils about this. They're very well aware that we need some funding, and so I hope that we do well on this decision package. You want me to read the justification?
Need to.
So. Yeah, I mean, we don't even have funding to support the vehicles that we drive, the county vehicles. It's crazy. So it is stressing out our two maintenance budgets because of our admin group now being in the county. Number four, approve additional funding to general fund parks maintenance budget, $1,485,000. So that's what it costs every biennium to support the general fund parks that are now in the MPD parks and have been since 2010. That is a big problem because it's really zapping the money out of our Metropolitan Parks District fund. And as a result, these two parks that we're trying to build, Tower Crest and Sorensen, are being held hostage because we're at capacity right now. We don't have the money to maintain brand new parks. So the councils are very, very, very aware of our situation here. In fact, they did give us some money last year. This was $1.6 million. Back in 2010, that's what we had to give up. And so they gave us about $150,000. And what's remaining. I don't think they're not going to give us this, but if they even gave us 10%, that would allow us to start to build two more neighborhood parks pretty easily. A neighborhood park typically runs maintenance-wise for a year about $23,000. So if they gave us $50,000, we'd be in pretty good shape. I'm hoping to give us about $150,000. And if we could just go after them with a decision package every spring and fall and get 10% each time, within a certain period of time, that will be paid back and the burden will be lifted. So we will see. So we're asking for it. They don't necessarily have to deny it, but they can actually give us a percentage of that. So.
Is that the 1.4, is that mostly staff that you're paying for?
Yes, it's staff. So we've got 12 parks that are in the APD system. Klein-Line, I'm sure if I can rattle them all out. We've got Klein-Line, we've got H.B. Fuller, Elida, Orchards Park, Isabel Park, Stockford Village Park, Geyser, Jason Lee, and then we've got some green spaces that are in there as well. Sand Creek Greenway, that's huge. And particularly Sand Creek Greenway or Klein-Line, you know, we've got the lifeguard program there. That's a very expensive park to operate each year.
And so if I'm putting myself in the trying to put myself in the mind of a counselor, and the first or one thing they might say is, geez, you know, we don't want to look like we're overstaffed in this county. Couldn't we be doing that through a professional services contract? And if so, how much is it going to cost? Do you have answers to questions like that?
About every 5 to 6 years, we do a study of what it costs.
So professional services turn around and say, yeah, staff. This is indeed the cheaper option.
Yeah, and the last one was the cost was very comparable. The quality was very comparable, but the oversight to run the professional services contract added cost on that side. And so that was, in this study, it was we gave a contractor three of our new MPD parks after they were built. And so these are yours to maintain for the next 2 years. And then we did an apples-to-apples study. And so we do have an answer to that. And so I hope that doesn't come up. Again, that took a lot of work.
We do realize that the problem you're up against is the fact that they don't want to have... They want to cut staff. They don't want to easily add to it. So you're going to be fighting that battle.
We're not actually adding staff by doing this. We're just the staff... all the costs of these parks, these 12 parks that my staff maintained, they're charged to the MPD fund because general fund doesn't have the money to maintain those. So we need to put back general fund dollars into the general fund maintenance budget so those parks can come back over. It doesn't mean adding staff or anything. It just means let's get that out of
where the pocket of money is coming from.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Let's just switch maintenance responsibility.
We're using money that is intended for a different purpose, like building
parks. That's correct. And that was a short-term fix to move all those parks over in 2010.
So we can shave off some rough time.
But now it's time to put it back.
You know, you might put a line in your justification saying that really clearly. This will not add staff. It allows us to free up funding elsewhere to build.
Sure. Okay. We'll do that.
Good point.
Yes.
Okay.
Next one is a real estate excise tax, which is REIT in short. So funding to reinstate ongoing regional park capital repairs and AD improvements, $440,000 per biennium or $220,000 per year. This is our major maintenance fund that we've had for many years. It was cut off in 2012 and just being used strictly for debt service. And I did some snooping around. When it comes to REIT, the county brings in $22 to $24 million per year countywide in REIT funding. It's all being used for debt service right now. We know that I don't know even though they're applying 100% of it to debt service, how much do they need to apply to debt service? And the monies that are coming in are higher than expected. We need a piece of that back. And so, on two different levels. One is for capital repairs for our parks, so our infrastructure doesn't break down anymore. And we can continue on with doing ADA accessibility projects as well. And so that's Jeremy's been running that for several years. And in the 2013 year, we ran out of cash, and that's all that was left in that REIT fund. And so Jeremy extended that down. And without REIT funding, we're not replacing any walkways. We're not replacing play equipment. You know, stuff that costs $10,000, $20,000, $30,000
up to $100,000 to repair can't happen unless we have some funding.
Just finance it. We have paying up debt service would be good then.
Yeah, there you go. Add it to the debt service.
Well, no, actually, well, damn
it. With Dennis's thought, is any of the county's debt service paying for parks? Park capital? In other words, did you take on debt to build anything?
No. Debt service is public service center, health department, building, Tri Mountain Golf Course, I believe, and a couple other things like that. So.
Well, I guess I'm just ignorant then, because I've always understood that there was a certain amount of REIT that was dedicated to parks.
Until 2012.
Until
it was cut.
Oh, until 2012.
Correct.
We've been asking
to reinstate it. Give us some of that money back because we have infrastructure. We have Jeremy's got 10 years worth of projects that need to be dealt with.
Hurry up and get them done, Jeremy.
Just use the money.
Charge it.
Okay. Yeah. Any questions on that one?
A lot of check. All
right, next one. Let's see. Okay. Real estate excise tax. Again, now this one I need to rework a little bit. It says request real estate excise tax funding to support parks acquisition and development of unincorporated urban and regional parks. $26 million. So I put that down. It essentially is 1/6 of our 6-year plan's budgeted amounts for expenditure. So of the $114 million, there you go. And so it was just like a place mark to see what the counselors would want to do. I was told to show them the full amount needed and then try to pare it down from there. But on this one, what I've done since then is I actually took the 2016 list right out of here, the capital facilities plan, added all those up that were over $200,000, and it came to, do we have that document? Okay.
Is it this one?
No. Let's see. No. Oh, here it is. I don't think I made copies.
No, you didn't make copies.
Oh, did you? Okay. Here those copies out. I'll show them to you. So not everything in the 2016 capital facilities plan is shown here, but I thought anything that has the possibility of going after grants is in there. So I kind of cut the line off. It's about $250,000. And so I was going to talk about this actually later on, but there's in all there's about 9 grants that we want to take a look at. I don't know if we're going to be able to realistically go after 9 grants. I think that's pretty excessive. I think what I was going to do is bring this up in our October meeting and have a chat about if we should prioritize these projects. Which ones are they going to be? If we had to pare them down to say 4, what are those top 4? And I'd like to have this board make that decision.
So it's your intent to change your $26 million to
$5.05? Yeah, and that needs to be even further refined because in the urban area, I've got FIP funds that I can put towards that. So it's actually the grant funds might actually be less or sorry. So it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million is what I'm going to be asking for in this decision package.
I think that's a great strategy. You say $5 million, here's what we'll do with it. You guys can prioritize and whatever you give us, this is exactly what comes. I like that.
Because we start thinking about this is really general. This just says, hey, this is going to be $26 million. I'm going to refine it to say, here's our projects that we're going to work on in the 2016 year. Here's the money that we need to match with our grants, and then we'll go after that.
So. Except isn't this a 2-year budget request you're making?
No, single.
It is just single.
Okay. Yep, single year. So basically, I said this is a 1/6 of all the money that we could spend in the next 6 years. So out of $114 million, this is essentially it. So I'm going to be a lot more specific.
So you're thinking of going in and just being, I'm just going to go hinky here.
Mm-hmm.
From my experience, when I go in on my begging sessions, I always doubled what I really needed.
Well,
just because I knew they were going to cut it. You, maybe process has changed. You're comfortable with just going in?
Yeah.
And that this won't get cut back.
Oh, it'll get cut.
Anything you get cut back, they might.
Well, yeah, they always seem to. I mean, they across the board always cut back from what you ask.
Right.
So I guess I'm just saying I'd be more inclined to at least add it a little.
But he's saying, though, if he goes in for that, that's for all of these, where realistically we wouldn't be able to submit for all these probably because there's too many. So he's asking for all of it, even though we know probably we wouldn't be able to request, right?
There's two camps.
We're talking two things.
Budget office is saying,
yeah, because
everything.
You don't know you're going to get the matching money.
Right.
No, well, first of all, this is REAP money that we're asking for. And countywide, we only bring in 22 to 24 million. So this is actually more than the county even brings in a whole year. They are not going to give us 100%.
Well, I think we should get 100%. Never mind. Okay.
Plus, I think it was
okay. I missed that it was just
go in with
that. Okay. Never mind.
This is
this wasn't the budget approval.
Right.
You know, these are projects, and people like projects as opposed to the general. Give me a general number they want.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What is the money actually going for? Especially in this fiscally. Just need to be physically responsible.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen a year that wasn't physically responsible. Never. And I've been 45 years.
Right.
Well, we're coming out of a recession.
Well, in parks, what we're accustomed to is just outright rejection. And say, nope, we can't fund that.
Right. So,
we want to make it compelling enough.
Right. The one danger of this is say they gave you, $4 million based on a prioritization, and one of those we're talking through this, but say Sorensen Neighborhood Park was on the list, and for whatever reason you aren't able to get that grant, or that falls off the list, that you need to have some caveat in here that says that money isn't necessarily going to Sorensen.
I'm
not quite sure how you finesse that in verbiage, but you might.
We could say these are unanticipated projects that were approved by our Parks Advisory Board.
How many of these projects did RCO look at? Of these, did you show all these to them at a point?
No.
So yes, these projects. I didn't hear you.
No.
They haven't seen any of this yet.
Because they will chop some of these out before you even
blink your eyes.
Well, I met with our two grant writers before this meeting, and they looked at it and says, 9? Are you kidding?
Lucky to get 3.
Exactly.
Yeah, so he's really done with what you're saying. I'm just pointing out that you really have asked for more than you're going to get.
Right. Yes. So I think that our role here, the role of Parks Advisory Board, is to take this list, because these are straight out of the capital facilities plan, and tell me what your top 3 is, and maybe a 4th, and we'll draw the line. And so,
the other question in this bill is because the counselors sometimes feel like we're being dictated by the state, we might throw some out there that we don't go for state grant money with, and we do them 100% on our own, so we don't feel like we're owned by them.
Correct.
Because there doesn't seem to be a lot of appreciation for what the state requires of us in some cases, even though I think they don't require too much. I think it's fair, but that option is to go our own and not be asking the state to fund part of it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which our money doesn't go as far, but we're not held to their standards.
The one thing we have to be mindful of is when we do ask for grant funding to improve a park, or if we ask for acquisition funding, now, let's say we have a 40-acre parcel of property, we want grant funding to help us buy that piece of property or develop it. The one thing we want to be mindful of is that we have to earmark the piece that we want encumbered. Maybe it's not all of it.
Because it's like what we looked at in that first part.
Yeah, and right. So that's one thing that I try to keep in the back of my mind.
Right.
Because they want to encumber the entire thing. Even if it's a $20,000 grant, they want responsibility over the entire 40 acres or whatever. So
sometimes it costs us more money to get that state money than it's worth.
Yes. And I've heard that anything under $300,000 is probably not worth going.
Probably not worth the money. Yeah. Absolutely right. I just had to bring that into it.
So I will refine this, and I'll tell you what, I will refine it, and I will send it out to all of you. How's that sound?
Yeah.
So you can review it. And that'll be the next day or two. Let's see, today's Friday. Okay, next week. All right. I think that's all of them. So I didn't want to be a hog at the trough, but at the same time, we have needs that have been suppressed for quite a while.
I don't see the one that I wanted to talk a little bit more about here, and maybe I'm just seeing it within request number 4, but the maintenance of the regional parks has been really cut, and some of that money from the urban park system has been used in the maintenance of our regional parks. Is that not right?
Yes.
We need to get that back into the general fund because they're two different systems.
Exactly.
And we're really robbing from a fund that isn't intended to be for regional parks.
That's right. Since 2010.
Well, I'd like not to have this real argument about this till after we get our comprehensive plan done, just so we can get the comprehensive plan done. I think we need to understand the difference between our regional system, which has regional parks in cities, but they're ours because mm-hmm. they're regional parks, and those that are our urban parks that are in the MPD. So that's a critical factor. We've got to do that. And I don't know if it's in the $26 million or it probably
no,
isn't
it's,
that.
No, it's number four here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't. I thought I would hear you say something about it being the maintenance.
Yeah, that's the general fund parks that currently reside in the MPD and strapping it right now.
Right.
So that money, if provided to us all in one lump sum, we'll take those 12 parks and move them back to general fund and provide us
some money. I just want to make a real passionate plea for making sure we fund our regional parks at a level we have prior to the rough times, because
yes.
I went out to some of our East County or North County parks last week just to see how they were faring in the summer heat and everything, and Louisville Park, I have never seen it look so beat up and used. It got a lot of use this year, but a lot of it's the time of year and it looks pretty bad.
And then a lot of it has to do with people trying to get out of their homes.
Yeah, well, and that's what we build them for, but it's taken a lot of abuse this year and without the funds to refurbish it. So I don't want us to sit around thinking everything's going fine, because it isn't. And
no.
Things are looking a little less than what I'm used to seeing, it,
exactly.
Especially in Louisville Park.
And that's where that capital facility or capital repair comes in. I mean, Jeremy's replaced a lot of the fireplaces and the shelters and roofs and stuff. That's what that money's for.
Right.
And of course, this long dry season didn't help any of our parks at all.
There's a lot of the plant materials that have survived other summers have died this year.
Yes, yes.
And lots of things that are going to take some money. So after we get the comp plan done, I'm going to start beating the drum about getting funding back into the system for our regional park system, because that's what this parks program was about before we hit the MPD.
Yes.
When we start to look at new parks, or when we get past all this crap?
Well, we've got two on the books for next year, right,
what?
Bill?
Bill, are you taking into consideration the maintenance, right? When you propose something, the maintenance number comes through?
Yes.
And
even with the little parks?
What's that?
Even with the little neighborhood parks?
Absolutely, sure. Yeah,
no, like there's maintenance there, too.
Sorensen and Tower Crest are our next two parks to be built. Tower Crest is already shovel-ready. The permitting is being updated as we speak. Sorensen is being designed right now. In fact, there was an open house this last Tuesday to allow neighbors to choose which play equipment they wanted. And both those parks will be ready to build as of May 1st of next year. The question is, can we... If the councilors will have to give us, or at least give us some general fund dollars to move a couple parks out, because right now, in our MPD levy, the money's coming in, are matching expenses, which means we can't add any more cost onto it. And so, yes, if you look at this, here's our PIP list right here, this sheet. These are the remaining MPD parks that are slated to be built by 2014. You can see what the funds that we have available. So in Sorensen, we have money to build that park. Tower Crest, you can see that the PIP funds do not quite make it. However, remember that Schaefer property sale where we got $1.1 million in District 7? That money can be used for that. So we're covered. Now, the remaining hurdle is, can we maintain this right now? The answer is no, not until the councilors give us some money.
There's another component that I didn't mention, and that is we have to spend these dollars in a time frame. Capital dollars have to be spent within a
that is correct.
7 year, 8 year, whatever.
10 year.
10 year.
Yeah, keep down.
We're right on those. We're keeping those things spent just ahead of the losing of them. So
yes.
Where are we at on that?
That's concurrency.
You
bring that one up.
Yeah.
Before we jump into that, on your decision package list, you also have a placeholder regarding Transfer Camp Hope timber proceeds.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I put that on a note for my meeting with Lori Pierce this morning. She's taking care of that one.
Which one was that?
That's the bottom of the list.
Oh, it's bottom of there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so there was out at Camp Hope, they thinned a bunch of timber out there. It was basically for safety purposes. There's a lot of snags and different things, but they managed to pull in $43,000 worth of proceeds from those timber sales. And so I met with Camp Hope folks. They want to put their hands on that money so they can master plan that park, so they can do improvements. And so that money is in Department of Environmental Services right now. And so this decision package is transferred over to Public Works so I can get my hands on it, so they can start to initiate the master planning process. Okay. There's no money. It's just a transfer of money is all it is. So we're not asking for anything. But it has to be asked for in this decision package. So it sounds like our finance team has already got that one covered, so I don't have to write a decision package for it. Okay?
Excellent. Thanks, Bill. That's this is really. Sure. So before we move on to the actual PIP, your next discussion thing,
yes.
I think that it would behoove us for Pat to indicate its support of Bill's proposals here, if you're so inclined.
So moved.
Oops, where did Adam go?
Behind
you. Oh, want to make sure we grab the motion. Let's wait till he comes back.
This is why we're
just
waiting for
him.
Would you prefer a motion on each of these separately, or would?
If you just want to do one motion to
cover them all.
Be great. Mm-hmm. Unless there's one that you don't like.
Is there one you don't like?
Okay.
Okay.
Are you being?
Oh, I think she's serious.
Oh, you're serious.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All so right. We'll do them one at a
okay,
time.
Okay, so we'll do them one at a time.
I didn't understand.
So, John, you want
to? They'll pick them apart.
You ready to roll over there, Adam?
Almost. So, Adam, you can take
the list here.
This list. I'm going to make a motion on the first one and read it as it's read here. I'm not going to read it, but let's just make the motion for the first one for the 9 month of the what do you call it?
Grounds maintenance specialist.
I make a motion that we endorse that request. Moved and seconded. Oh, yes, sorry.
Yeah, we'll just jump right in, buddy. We work. No, it's been moved and seconded that we support request number one for ground maintenance staff. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Looking at number two on the list. Anyone?
I will move that we support the addition of one parks maintenance. I'm sorry, one parks grants specialist slash planner.
Right,
good job.
Grants specialist slash planner. Is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
And a second is it? It's been moved and seconded that we support option number two, a grant specialist planner. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, one opposed. Motion still carries. Thank you. Open to number three now.
I'll move that we.
Okay, John.
Say that before.
That we approve the request for additional administration budget.
Is there a second?
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So carried. Okay, number four.
Request for general fund for parks. I make a motion to approve that.
Second, is there a second?
I'll second it.
And Candace seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Number five.
That'd be my turn again. move to approve special funding accounts to reinstate regional parks capital repairs and ADA improvements.
Oh.
Good grief.
Hold on a second.
What?
It's free.
Just
one.
Move to approve number five.
Okay. Request for special funding. Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Number six.
And on this one, how about move to approve request for refunds as totaled in the priority grant list?
In the priority. In the amount of. Do you want to do that?
Do we have an actual amount?
We don't have an actual detailed amount just yet.
Oh, okay.
It's a priority grant list.
Okay, priority grant.
I'll second that. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the request for refunding as totaled in the priority grant list. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. So hopefully we've reported for you all that we're supportive of your efforts on this. Thanks, Bill. It was good information.
Thank you very much.
Good. I'll bring it on paper next time.
Now the work begins.
Starting to feel bad for you.
Down when you run out 10.
Okay. So back to you, Bill, for your park impact fee.
Okay, so these are the PIP balances that we update these every month, and we show them on our parks grid. So you can actually track along and see what PIP revenues are coming in, which are actually coming in at a pretty good clip. Some of these PIP balances are some of these districts are acquiring as much as $100,000 per month. Some are at $50,000, and they're all actually gathering funding, which is great because of all the construction that's going on.
I was just going to say, there's a lot of them that are using. And you're selling like hotcakes, too.
Oh, man, that's amazing. So,
it is.
Yes.
It's scary.
And so
the way house prices are going up?
No, the rate of sales is pretty good.
Rate of sales, yeah.
Over where I am, it's just...
No?
The 7 years, and the one that's just...
Gone, yes. So I don't know if there's anything that you want me to explain on this.
Where can you tell us where you're at on 10? I know we've got concurrency that we're worried about. We also are really wanting that.
Sure. I'll pull up the concurrency list there, Jeremy. One thing
Isn't it a couple of months away for 10?
In 10, we are March of next year.
March
of 2000.
For me, that's a couple of months away.
Let's find out. Here it is.
Sorry that print's so small, but I wanted you to be able to see it.
Yeah, that's good.
You want to So here's PIP 10, Barbara. Turn across. It's April.
April
of 2016. So
but you're going to be short $22,000.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And so, and that's on the back side of this PIP sheet, I believe, or it's on your handout here.
Yeah,
so
we're
sorry about the small red.
It's March. April it turns red.
Yeah.
Right.
And
so
the one thing that we did recently is we talked to Pam Mason with Real Property Services and asked her who their consultant is that goes out and actively seeks properties. And I don't know the name of this consultant. She's trying to do the paperwork on it right now. But we need some help going out and just looking for a property. And
well, they want so darn much that I'm sure you looked at that property there along 149th on down near Northwest 11.
Looked at two or three already. And yeah,
I'm sure you looked two or three times.
Or they're already tied up.
I know
they.
Oh, there's so much.
But there's on the map where we show where all the potential sightings could be, or centroids for parks would be. There's quite a few that fit in 10, both east and west of I-5. And so we're going to task this real estate consultant, if you will, to go out and start looking for us for these properties. And they're actually going to put those put that out on the RMLS so that all the real estate agents across the county are looking for us. So. There's an upfront cost. I'm not sure how much that is just yet.
4%.
Well, they probably jack the price up when they see it's us, though.
So,
you know.
No, they're the realtors.
Oh,
I'm
they
not
get
talking
that.
About that. I'm
oh.
talking about above that.
Oh, over and above that, yeah.
So this realtor does not actually acquire the property for us, or you know, they're actually the person that finds the property for us, and then we negotiate the deal. So that cost is going to come out of PIP acquisition, so it doesn't come out of our maintenance budgets, and so you can see PIP acquisition. We're pretty good to go there. It's not going to be very much money, I don't think. It's probably going to be about $2,000 per
account. But you think there's a chance they might find something in the district?
Well, I hope there's a chance that they find something in that district, because we're going to have to find something in that district.
Yeah, well, we've been looking how many years, though.
I know. So we don't know where they're going to find it at, east of I-5 or west of I-5, but they're going to find something. So we'll see.
You need it on both sides, but probably west is denser populated.
This really starts climbing up. And so it's $22,000 the month that it goes into concurrency.
So that's
85 and 102, and it starts going up from there.
Those are just clarification. Those amounts need to be refunded.
Refunded to the homeowners in District 10 with interest. And if you think we are low staffed right now, that would be a nightmare. I don't want to give anything back at all possible.
Yeah.
So you think they were just went through that?
Well, it doesn't go to the homeowners, does it? It goes to the builder.
No, it goes to the homeowners.
Oh, it's now going to the... It used to go to the builder?
They got that.
So when you
the
builder, changed that? When did that change? I missed that one.
State legislature.
Yep.
Ooh.
So where's my little card on this?
Yeah. Well, I still don't want to go and back. I want to park for those kids.
Where's my district?
Mom and Dad will go to the movies when they get back.
Hey.
You know. Oh, I didn't say that.
So we're being very mindful of the fact that the deadline is coming up.
It's an important issue.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is.
We want to start right now and start actively seeking property. And then, of course,
areas
you can see,
to worry about.
You can see 6 and 5 are close behind it.
Yes, I do.
Right here. And so that consultant, if you want, they're going to be looking across all the 5th districts and find potential properties for us. I'm sure
so 5, 6, 8, and 10 are all next year an issue.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you're not able to find viable park land, are you interested in doing, or is it even permissible just to buy land for investment purposes, basically, that you at least you spend the money and you sell it later on? Is there some way to, you can't do that?
Once we start buying lands and not go through the scrutiny of buying public land for park purposes, then we open that door for selling anything we've got.
It opens the door to abuse.
Yeah. I think mine's so quick to buy it.
Where did the money come from to purchase the, not just, I'm talking about Madison Park, but it's the same thing I've seen in several locations. Where does the money come from to do that?
To buy those parks? Right here. Mm-hmm. Park impact fee dollars, typically.
And then,
These dollars here.
Because they did nothing but fence it.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it's getting some maintenance now.
So when we buy a piece of property, and Jeremy runs that program as well, it's what we call 5th level 1 cleanup. We'll buy a property, we'll clean it up, take down any hazard trees, fence it, put a sign up in the front, and it's a green space until we decide it's going to be built into a full-blown neighborhood park. And so...
That's great.
Yep. And that's when you get into 5th development. That's the lower section here.
So
those two are separated. You can only use TIF acquisition for acquiring property and only development for development. They can't mix. Not until now. So the counselors decided to combine those two.
Remember that.
At the end of the year, so that's what you're seeing down below is the combination of the two. So up the very top line under acquisition, that's remaining static. There's no more money being added to that, just with the exception of interest. Same thing with the development, which is the second green line down. That one remains static as well. What's being put into is this combined acquisition development. That's the one that we're seeing the growth on each and every month. But we have to use these funds in these top two columns first, because that's the oldest money we've got. So we're coming up in a 10-year period where we have to actually
change. Now, can you use that to develop now too then? Or
not the old stuff.
The old stuff
not
is
old
just
stuff.
For purchase.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So we can't go beyond when it was approved.
Okay.
So
this sheet means a lot.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That sheet is pretty big. That's just like a small snapshot, but it goes
huge.
All the way down and shows concurrency.
It's huge.
Many years from now. Any questions on?
I bet it's huge, politically huge, not.
Yeah. Oh,
physically.
It's physically used too.
Because when they see red numbers, they do the same thing. We're falling short.
Right.
You just got to flip it over.
Well, this in that case, it's we got to get it back.
Yeah.
I don't like the message that's sent. That the kids don't need it, when it really is the reality that we just let the land slip out of our fingers when we should have bought it.
Right.
It looks like incompetence.
I will do our due diligence in getting property bought up before we can.
Great.
All right. So if I want to put a picnic table in my park or something like that, it comes out of green money?
No, it comes out of
that's development.
It comes out of something else. Okay. Because it's not in line for... My thinking is it's not in line to be made into a park where you have jumping things and all the kids' stuff. It's not in line for that yet.
Nope, not
but
yet.
We're maintaining it.
Yes, we maintain all of our green spaces at a certain level.
Yeah. Minimum
basis, yeah. Someday in the future, it will be.
Yeah. Oh, it's fine. I love it. It's the way it is. Most people do, so yeah. It's okay.
Good. You know, at least it's usable. It's an open space.
Yeah, a lot of people use it. I have a question about another little area. Are you done?
Yes. Go ahead.
There's an area that is near my home that is a water retention.
Do we have a map that we can pull up so we can see what this is?
What's your address?
5204 Northeast 40th Avenue. You really want 52nd Street. By the way, if the county did all that road work near me, I'm really grateful.
Yes,
potholes have gone away. It's been really
Yeah, this is their season for making it happen.
Okay.
Up here?
Yes, I think that's it. No.
That's the property.
Is that where the water retention pond is?
So where's,
here?
Where's your house at?
Her house is right down here.
It's right here.
Right here.
Okay.
Then that's not the one I'm talking about. I'm going over here and up here. What's over there?
Oh, no,
right here?
No, that's not. Yes. Yeah. I think that's the one. Anyway, there's a gate that's locked and keeps people out of this. And yet there's a park right at the bottom of that somewhere. Somebody showed me. And
there's not an environment.
I want to know what we have to do to get that gate unlocked. Just to have a trail down it to get to the park.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of crazy.
That's
locked.
Environmental services. That might be like the one over by us.
This is what the county commission or the counselors are saying we can start thinking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So this is what
See, what we were told is that the gate is up there because.
This is the change we're trying to do. This is the one good thing.
Where's that park at?
Because we have a
Thomas Webb. Well, you've got protected species in there.
Well, that's what they want. I mean.
Yeah.
Where's the. Is it protected space? That's what they want here. Open
right here. Yeah, okay. So, right here, we have a little bit of that owned by environmental services. Here's our park right here. And there's another one of these right here out to the east.
So, why can't we have a trail that comes down?
We can ask them.
And goes into here.
So,
I mean, no, I'm not asking them to mow it, I'm not asking them to maintain it.
Sure.
I just can't get
access.
A way through. Yeah,
we can ask them.
This is DC Fisher.
This doesn't show the upgrades, but they actually done a big pond here with the trail all the way around it.
Yeah.
And that's called Thomas Eastman.
So why is this open?
And they gave us a list. And it's good.
This is
part
of
that.
This is
a
part
of
that. This is the one you're talking about.
Down below.
So,
they said we're endangered. So what are you talking about?
Okay.
Well, the idea is to put a trail around all of these. They provide an additional opportunity.
Just give us access so you can walk around it.
Sure.
And walk through it.
Sure.
I think that needs to be looked at.
So, we're in the round table discussion, and you started.
Yes, you jumped right in before.
I like it.
So, sorry about that.
Do you have anything else?
I have never been able to understand why they have. All it is a chain link fence and blocks. You know, and that's not keeping anybody out. Okay. And at the other end of it, I understand it's even open. So I don't see why that can't be.
I think you'll ask a good question. I think there are probably reasons they have locks, and we should let them tell us why. so we understand it, so we're not going to have a
localized block. It's had a lock forever and ever, and nobody remembers
it's
there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
More like
yeah.
So that's the answer.
Yeah.
Why?
And we've got some like that by us, too, and one of them is just a bioswale that, I mean, there rarely is even any standing water in it. And you wonder why they've got it all locked up. But boy, they were out there raising cane when our kids were over there.
A lot of times they do it because of the liability.
Well,
and so if they don't show that they're doing the effort to keep people out of it, I mean, then it's harder for them when they get sued.
We built a park and left the weather. Left a pond right there next to the little kids' playground. There's a pond. What's the name of that?
But the point I was trying to make is that on the other piece of Environmental Services land that we've got, we were told that the reason that they had the gates up there and that we couldn't include it because we have a walking trail right up to it is that it had endangered species in there that needed to be protected. And so...
Well, if that's the case...
If that's the case, you need to do that. Yeah. So it all depends upon why that gate is there, whether we push dam it down.
Then they shouldn't have it open on the other end.
Right. Yeah, you're right. It shouldn't be open on the other end.
And it's just stupid because the other end's open and people walk down there all the time.
Well, ours isn't open at all.
To be able to come through.
That was a question that Councillor Milky actually brought up. He says, why don't we open up some of these water quality facilities?
Yeah. Let me tell you, there are people in there. There are people who are living in there.
Oh,
one entrance parks, yeah.
No. I bet you Temple's got something to share with us today.
Sure. And a bunch of stuff. Apparently, September is Parks Foundation Month. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Yes, just a guess.
But tell us all about it. And I don't know if you guys heard, but funding for parks is an issue. I don't know if you guys knew that. And the Parks Foundation helps bridge that gap. So we've had a whole bunch of stuff going out lately, and we have some really cool stuff coming up. One is if you haven't renewed your membership lately in the Parks Foundation, I have some membership forms. And one of the things that membership gets you is an invitation. Well, actually, you all got an invitation anyway. But an invitation to our annual meeting, which is next week. And it's going to be at the Vancouver Water Resources Center. It's Thursday, 4:30 to 6:30. Everyone's invited, member or not. Please come out. We've got a little bit of business. It's where we elect our board members every year and just do kind of the annual meeting business. But then, with the exception of that, like 10 minutes of work, it's just a party, just to thank everybody for helping out. So if you're able to make it, please come. It's free, 4:30 to 6:30. The business will be right about 5:30. I've got a few cards if you want to stick it on your fridge to remind yourselves. And so that's next week. And then Thursday the 24th is GiveMore 24. And I sent out an email to you, and a few folks responded. But GiveMore 24, it's the second year of it, and it's started by the Community Foundation. And it's their one day of online giving every year for the community. There's I think it's about 100 nonprofits that are participating this year. And basically, we're all out talking to the community, trying to get folks to make online donations that day. And the donations, as small as $10, up to as generous as you feel. We're all out hustling and trying to be more interesting than the others. So you're like, yeah, I'll participate. And what we're doing for the Parks Foundation is SwingMore 24. So we decided that we wanted to actually celebrate what we do in parks, which is, ideally play and get out and have fun. So we're going out to parks all over the county and inviting folks to come and do, we have 24 20-minute slots. So come and just swing and play on the swings with us for 20 minutes. And the way it's kind of shaped up is I put it out to you guys, to the county and to the city parks boards, also to the mayors and city councilors and my board to see if people would be interested. And enough folks are being interested that what's kind of shaping up is we can have a little bit of a friendly municipal challenge. So Washougal is actually who started it. Sean Gard was like, I'm taking 2 hours and we're going to beat everybody else. I appreciate that, Sean, and I will see if others will take your challenge. So with Vancouver, we've got all but one of the city council and the mayor are going to be swinging, and so I'm going to block them together. We're going to have Washougal. Camas is going to do it. I'm working on Battleground. Ridgefield is in. And you guys, we're getting really close to having a county block. Bill has said he's in. Barbara and the twins are in. So we're going all over the county, and Louisville Park was suggested.
Yep.
And yeah, and I think that's a great one. Just what do we want to highlight? Because one of the really cool things about this is not just highlighting Donate to the Parks Foundation, which you should, but also what are these resources that we have? I'm really excited about getting out and taking pictures and talking about and being on Facebook all day, showing people actually using our parks. I'm really excited about it. So going out to Louisville and saying, look what we're doing here. This is fantastic. And if you're not able to swing with us, you can of course support your fellow PAB members by donating during their time, because we'll have a bunch of like friendly little competitions, like who got the most donations during their time, who brought in the most. I'm going to come up with random categories throughout the day. Right now I'm thinking like, you know, strangest thing I overheard that you didn't think I heard you say while you were swinging. things like, you know, but whatever, just to kind of, you know, boost it. We'll ask you if you're participating to put it out to all your friends. Also, if you aren't swinging but you've got members of the PAB who are, you know, please put it out and say, hey, support, you know, support my fellow board members and donate, you know, $10 during their time.
Which day is that?
September 24th, Thursday the 24th.
Oh, we're swinging after 4 o'clock because I have to wait for the kids to get out of school.
Yeah.
But do you know when, so we can give you money at that time?
I will put it out. Right now I'm basically trying, like we have a lot of moving pieces, so I'm trying to construct the schedule and then let everybody know. But for the county, we're looking at probably the 4 to 5 hour. I may push it a little later, so it's like 4:20 to 5:20 so that, you know, folks can get there. But that's what we're probably looking at for that time. And you will receive another, at minimum, one more email from me saying when it is. But we're hoping that it's just a really
Thank
fun way
much.
To showcase our resources and what we have.
Great idea.
Perhaps you can take this and put it on your fridge, too, to remind you. And then the last thing is, the very next day, we're really excited. Shorty's does an Oktoberfest every year. And typically the Fort Vancouver Library Foundation has been their beneficiary, but they opened it up and they added us to it this year. So we're going to receive part of the proceeds from this event. It's a huge thing. They do it every year, and it's a lot. I've never been, but it's a lot of fun. They get like 700-800 people out. They have a German band, and you know, and beer and food, and it's just folks out having a great time. So it's Friday night, the 25th. You can get tickets online, and if you go, you know you're supporting the Parks Foundation and having a fantastic Oktoberfest.
So it's very similar to the.
It's very similar to the March Parks, St. Patty's for Parks.
Yes, and that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's always fun.
So yeah.
Cool.
Excellent.
Nice job.
Thank you, Tim.
Wow.
Thank you. What's going on?
Many resources.
Hopefully we'll see you all next Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
got lots of things on our agenda.
It's got the old tall swing set, so I think the kids can have a good time.
Adam.
I got nothing.
Nothing. You got nothing. Okay. Thanks. Like your beard. That's a new ad. Bill?
Gee, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to speak today. Do we want to talk about our next meeting? Just a couple things. The one thing I wanted to pass by you is the properties or the grant projects that we want to try to prioritize, because we're going to need to start looking at that. So our comp plan will be already approved, and so I think our next step is to start looking at which properties we want to get grant assistance on and prioritize that. Does that sound good?
That sounds good.
That's a great idea.
Okay.
I think one of the things that would be helpful for us is I don't know who it is that would do that, but the RCO criteria that is used, if we're serious about wanting the match from the state, there's certain hoops we want to jump through, and
and
we need to understand if we want to jump through those hoops or we don't.
Yes, and I will create all that. I need to kind of create a matrix showing what matching funds are out there, which ones get $5 and other types of matching just besides grant funds, so it kind of gives you a broader scope of what we're looking for here. So that'll help you prioritize.
Yeah, because if they don't buy into your grant, they give you kind of a pre-approval to even get into it. And if you haven't got the pre-approval, you're dead before you even start, and you spend a lot of staff time and money on a dead grant. So
What I'll try to do, Kelly, is I'll put something together and get it out to this to the board prior to our next meeting, so you have a chance to take a look at it and absorb it. Okay, that sound good?
Great.
It would be nice if you could show us the cost acquiring the brands?
The cost of acquiring, as far as staff time and everything? Mm-hmm. Maybe? Okay. Yeah, we can take a look at that.
This is an essential part of putting this package together.
Sure. Yeah, there's time that's invested. We do have, what was the other thing? Oh, we were going to talk about the PIF districts as a general subject. There's no hurry on this, but I want to wait until after the comp plan was done. And so Jean Akers will be here at our next meeting, and they're running out of funding, if you will. The one thing she's going to be doing along with Lori is finalizing this when it is approved. So that's going to take another month or so before they get turn this draft into a final document. So that's going to cost a few bucks. But she wanted to give a little presentation on the possibility of looking at the PIF districts and what we think of it, or what we think of it as a Parks Advisory Board. If we should take a look at possibly consolidating, just leaving it alone, what? So I'll let her state the case, and then that'll just be food for thought for the future. We'll probably address it in November. We do have two other speakers that we will have there, and that is regarding basically grants and grant conversions, and so that'll be expected coming up in October. Okay, so Pat Lee, Peter Silliman, those two speakers.
Okay, great.
All right.
The reschedule, that'll be good.
And then not necessarily for next meeting, but at some point in time, I'd like to bring Karen Llewellyn in to talk about our volunteer program, because I don't think you've heard about how extensive it is and the things that we've been doing with it lately. So it'd be nice to have her give you a presentation. So we'll probably push that off to the November or something. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's it. I'm done.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah.
When is our next meeting?
Second Friday. Yeah. Look here. Oh, it should be on the back of this. Here we go. Yeah, I don't have to look on my calendar.
It's October 9th.
Where does that come in?
Yeah, it's on the agenda.
Sorry.
September? I guess it isn't on here.
October 9th.
October 9th. Thank you. October 9th.
Next meeting.
Oh, it's it's too large. I couldn't find it. I was looking down here on the list. Oh, it's not there.
I knew it was supposed to be at the end of the agenda.
Yeah, there we go. October 9th.
Good.
Okay, so back to Leah.
I don't think I really have anything. I put an updated contact list in your packet, so you can
see that.
There was just a couple changes.
Oh, I see it now, yes. Oh, thank you.
And you can use 0. 15,000. I should know that.
You should.
I will update that and bring a new one next week. Thank you.
Just in case someone wants to send me a letter or something. Maybe it's all the wrong place.
Okay.
That's for me.
Okay. Lori?
Just working on getting that packet together for the hearing and PowerPoint and resolution. Hopefully it'll pass.
And she's got a big smile on her face because the end's in sight.
Yeah,
it's
end's in sight.
End's in sight. Mm-hmm. Super.
Candace? I don't know. Nothing?
I'm good. Yeah. Premature to bring it up, but I am one of 8 candidates for appointment to the Board of the Kamis Washougal Commission. Frankly, I stand a good chance of being appointed. I bring it up mostly because of the potential of conflict of interest. Given that we're an advisory board, there will be no official conflict of interest, but it's smart to have such things out on the table if I am appointed and we do any joint programs with them, which we are in fact doing.
Yes.
So will you have to leave us?
No. It should not be a conflict. I just want it out there that I recognize any potential conflicts of interest and that I will act appropriately should anything come up.
Sure. Yeah. If we have a vote on something that might be in conflict, you would have to abstain, right?
Exactly.
Other than that, your knowledge is
there. I'm glad you're able to stay with us, because if you weren't able to, we put a bad word in for you.
So thanks for telling us.
Thank you.
It's a bad word.
Yeah.
Okay. They had somebody die on board.
Oh, no. not the way you want to get a position, but...
I know, it's the way I used to go shop for apartments as I go through the...
I don't have any additional thoughts. Kelly?
I have a couple of things. If you look on the roster that she's handed out this time, you'll notice that four of us, our terms expire at the end of the year.
So there's four of us?
I believe there's four of us, maybe three, but I think it's four.
One, two, three.
So to keep the continuity of moving forward with the Parks Committee, the Parks Board, I think that we should make sure that the commission, the counselors, counselors are aware of that and are prepared to move on with their appointments or reappointments, whichever the case may be. So I'm just going to make that a point that sometimes that falls into play. We've got a momentum going here, and we need to know what next year is going to look like for this board.
And our own plan will need to.
I don't want to wait till last minute on all that stuff. So I'm just bringing that up. I also, if you let us. I will be, I was supposed to leave for Argentina on the 21st September, and I canceled that because I don't want to miss the hard work we've done on this thing, and I want to see it through and make sure it's fine. So I will be here for that meeting, but it may miss, I won't miss because I will Skype in for future meetings that finish the year out, because we've got some really important work to do now that we've set aside a lot of things that, to get the comprehensive plan done. So if you guys can tolerate me being watching you from afar,
sure.
It's kind of fun to see everybody just sitting around watching this meeting. You should try it sometime.
Turning into a voyeur, huh?
It is almost voyeurism.
It's cool from Argentina.
So I will see the year out, and we'll see where we go next year. We don't know what the commission or the council.
Can you find out for us what they would like, what direction they would like to take on that? We interview us automatically, give it to us. What do they want to do?
I think that if you folks are interested in renewing, I don't think they would want to re-interview you. But if there's new candidates, then yes. So I will find out then. See what the process is.
Discussion. They do ask. So anyway, that needs to be pointed out. We've got a few months to work through it, but October will come, and November, and December.
It's just flying by.
Suddenly we'll find ourselves all out of compliance.
I don't know where the year went.
I don't either. The other thing, next meeting on the 9th, we will be hearing on the surplus lands, and
correct.
I think there'll be a good discussion on that. I look forward to it. But I really want to get the comprehensive plan wrapped up, and I really hope, and I hope everybody realizes, the grants that you're talking about for these lights would be in jeopardy if we don't approve this plan on the 22nd. Everything we do is in jeopardy, so we've got to have this plan in place. And if we can all be at that 22nd workshop or public hearing, it would be good. It is so critically important to all your work to get that finalized and signed by the three councilors now. If we get it done, and with the elections coming down the pike, this will be a really major accomplishment.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I just want to keep saying that over and over again.
Because put so much effort into
this. This is such an important document for everything we do, whether it's fundraising, whether it's state funds, whether it's just our future with parks, whether it's the red line that we got on the fund packaging, or the kinds of things that you get that we don't necessarily know about, proposals coming in the door that you have some tough times on. With that plan in place, you have something to stand on to be able to make some decisions. I just want to keep pounding on that and tell us that. That's all I have. Chris?
We just got the new school year underway, so I've been kind of in and out of the office the last couple of weeks, so I'm trying to...
Are you building any new schools this year, or...?
Oh, God, no. That's fine.
I believe there's one new school going to be built next spring by Vancouver School District. Would you You have none this year?
No, we have none. Right now we're looking at, so you know, when we, in the past when we've done a new school, it's been on a bond, like a 20-year
right.
bond. So I think in 2019 we'll pay off the last of our bonds, and we're looking at turning around and running a capital levy campaign. So that's more of a 5-year
right.
deal where we don't have that long term. And then we'll start, then we'll be able to build. With that amount of money that comes in all at once, we could build 2 or 3 or 4 new schools
right.
all at once and then not have that ongoing burden for the taxpayers. So that'll probably be
that's a few
five,
years.
That's another 5 years.
A day or two.
But in the meantime, the population of Clark County is
oh,
starting to climb.
And we're already looking at some of these developments out east and
each time
trying
we
to figure out where
seeing that
we
one
fit in there.
Proposal that one proposal you spread up there just scares the jeepers out of me.
That's amazing.
Those kids need schools.
And they need parks. Thank you. Jeremy?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Nada. Nada. All right. Great meeting, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to seeing you all on the 22nd.
Yes. And then on the 24th.
Meeting adjourned.
And
well, and on the 24th.
And the
24th. I'm just going to hang out here, I think.
Actually,
that's
the meeting's next week as well, right?
Yeah, the annual meeting.
That's on the 17th.
The 17th. Thursday.
Oh, yeah, but
I'll be at the NRPA conference, so I'll miss it.
The rest of you are nice.
Thank you, everybody. I'll be
Barbara.
Barbara?
Oh, yeah, I said meeting adjourned 3:05.
Yep.
I'll say that again. Oh, darn you.